Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Oh, what's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb,
bomb, bomb. Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
You're bugging.
Kid, I was running the streets with my bloomers on. My bloomers are on.
Listen. I've been gone since the beginning of New Mexico. And I've been gone since the beginning of New Mexico again.
I've been in videos with Fatboy SSE. I've been with Supreme Patty. I've been with Kush Poppy.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. 617-779-0985. It's funny. We've been here in the Boston area since 2006, and this whole Medford Everett thing is... I was completely unaware of it until Bird came into our lives, and now it's popping up all over the place. We got... what was his name?
Sexy Pashy.
Sexy Pashy, and now these guys with the banner that we'll get to later in the show. I mean...
if there's any day that I wish Bird was in, it's this morning.
Yeah. Did anyone ask if Bird knew him?
No. But I mean, maybe this is worth
a call.
Sorry,
Rich, sorry to interrupt, but yes, today is a Bird Day.
Oh, he's just not here.
Yeah, thought I'd let you know. It's 6:04.
Okay, come on, Bird. What are you doing? Well, listen. I mean, there's a lot of commotion out.
There's everyone's walking down the street looking at the banner. Bird's out there, you know, looking at the banner. There's a big line. Everyone's just wandering around looking at stuff.
We'll discuss stuff in detail later on. But I'm so excited about that. I might have watched several videos. There's now several videos that involve these two gentlemen. And with every one, I have a new question that needs to be answered. Yeah. And that's why I need Bird here.
Very mysterious.
It's essentially just about lifestyles, like lifestyles of gentlemen like this. Mm. And I don't even get into it right now. But either way, Bird is supposed to be here and he is not here. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
All right. So, but you know, he's coming in from Everett and there could be a log jam.
Sure.
That casino is going to be hysterical.
Dude, it's going to be the greatest thing in the world. Did you see that picture I tweeted from? I was on the train. Just looking at it from the train, it's a giant brick dropped on top of a where the chemical plant is. It's like on a swamp. They just dropped it out of the sky. There's nothing around it either. And there's all these pictures about how they're going to class it up and they're going to put like these cool fancy trees from Italy.
There's a roast beef place right next to it.
It's going
to
be like Children of the Corn.
Right?
People go,
They're going to come out just like mouth agape.
Yes. this ain't real. like in The Gods Must Be Crazy when they drop the Coke bottle.
Yes, it's 2001. It's prehistoric man coming out and seeing this thing that fell out of the sky. They're going to touch it. It's going to teach them how to use tools and once again rise up from the Everett ashes.
And the dealers are going to be fantastic. There's going to be so many mistakes.
See, I think the dealers are going to be fine because they're going to be screened and everything, but the people, the minimums are too high. What about the common man? What are you doing up here? $10? What do you think we're like, Norman Rockefeller? What do you think we're one of them rich guys from Scituate? Oh, it's going to be the best. And they're all going to be in there in their sleeveless Larry Bird jerseys, their Laura Malloy throwbacks. Just like...
The violence. Just the violence that's going to take place.
With all of just like the sauce from Mike's Roast Beef all over their face.
Mike Jamel, you just see him going in, just going up to a slot machine and his recliner.
Mark Jamel, no. Yeah, I can see Mark Jamel. He's a slots guy. That's right.
Recliner!
Is Mac Jamelli, Nick, the type of guy who would just fall asleep at the slot machine? Okay. I've seen that happen before. Back when I first used to go to Vegas when I was 21, I'd stay in the really classy joints like Circus Circus and the Maxim Casino, which had nothing to do with the magazine and closed down like a week after I stayed there. I saw an old lady at like 11 o'clock at night when I was going out to my room who had was playing one of the slot machines by the elevator, and I came back down at 10 a.m. and she was still at that same slot machine.
Oh, that happens all the time because there's buses that take them in. And then they'll say, we'll pick you up in the morning. And then, yeah, they just sit there and then they get tuckered out, but they don't have a room.
It was like a full, 12 hours.
Oh, yeah.
She was working two machines, the one, the slot machine in front of her, and the one keeping her alive on the tree next to her. It was like she had like a little bag or something on
hopefully
there.
Hopefully she didn't have to pull a lever. Hopefully that was controlled in something else.
Right. It's all button. It's all buttons.
But when they actually work two slot machines, that's the greatest. Double the chances. I'm working extra hard today.
It's great because nothing around that area has changed. It's just that. Boom, out of nowhere.
Yeah. So it's exciting times. Medford and Everett are on the map now. I mean, this is an exciting time to be alive. From going from being completely unaware of it to enjoying it.
It's a world stage.
I mean, that's what they're saying about in Rush. All the world's indeed a stage. Oh, my goodness. So, John, are you in a bad mood today?
No, I'm not, actually. Not
because
in a bad
mood. What happened to the Red Sox?
Nope, not a bad
mood. What happened to David Price?
I actually think David Price pitched a lot better than his numbers would indicate.
Whoa!
Yes. Get the hot take police sirens out.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's true. I thought he pitched a lot better than the...
You blame Nunez?
Well, that was a ground ball that went right through his legs, and that would have been the third out of the inning. I mean, if you really want to get into it, the three home runs that the Yankees hit were all opposite field pop-ups that would have been flyouts to medium depth right field. Now, granted, he gave up those homers, and you play in the ballpark you play in, but, I mean, it wasn't like they hit mammoth shots off him like they did the last time he pitched at Yankees. Last time he pitched at Yankee Stadium, I think he gave up five homers and the Sox lost 11-1, and he was a lot worse that day than he was last night. I think bad luck factored into it a little bit.
So you take the park into consideration?
Yes, I do. Last night I do. They hit three home runs, like 343, 342, and 341, and the wall is 340 feet away.
Yeah, but that's Yankee Stadium.
I know that.
So the Yankees pitchers have to deal with the same thing.
I'm not saying they should have won the game.
81 times a year.
I'm not saying they should have won the game. Their offense completely disappeared these last two nights. But David Price didn't pitch that badly last night. A lot of bad luck factored into it. These are opposite field pop-ups that, because of the stadium, landed in the first row of the bleachers. And if he happened to be pitching at Fenway and got the same luck, all three would have been outs, and you figure Nunez makes that play. And those are the six runs he gave up.
So do you value the Yankee pitchers more than you would value someone for, say, in Arizona because of the short porch in right field?
Because for
81 games, the Yankees pitchers have to pitch in those conditions. And so if you're giving David Price a break for giving up those three home runs, wouldn't you have to give the Yankee the pitcher's credit?
Yankees pitcher Severino is dominant. He was a candidate to start the
Is that if Price pitched in Yankee Stadium,
yes,
I mean, those are home runs. I mean, if he played for the Yankees, those are still home runs.
Yes, I see where you're getting at now. Yes, you give the Yankees pitchers credit. Sure you do.
Right.
Pitching in that ballpark, it's a bandbox.
Did you see that all three home runs were at the exact same spot?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Like
the first row
spot.
Or two of the bleachers.
Yep.
And if you're playing at Fenway, that's what, 30 or 40 feet in front of the bullpen?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just bad luck. And I could understand it if the Yankees hitters, if a left-handed hitter pulled the ball and it got out of there. That happens. But an opposite field pop-up where you're late on a fastball or a cutter, that's just luck. If it only lands a row or two in. If he hits it into the second deck like two nights ago, who's the reliever who gave up that home run? Ryan Brazier gave up a three-run homer into the second deck in right field. That's a home run. Those three balls last night, you know, the wind blows in 5 miles an hour. J.D. Martinez catches all three of them.
All right. Well, if you love money, and who doesn't? We were talking about gambling a little bit earlier. The Bankroll Boys are in today at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And, Rich, you have how they did last week?
Yeah, we are going to break all that down. They won me money. I know that. I put money on one of the games of the week that they recommended. And so far with them, I've had a push and I've had a win. So, not bad. And the push was on that ridiculous Cleveland versus the Steelers game. So... They've come through.
How much cheddar you putting down on these things?
Oh, just like I had $50 in my kitty that.
In the bankroll. $50 in the bankroll.
$50 in the bankroll.
Right.
And so it's been sitting there, and so I won $50.
He logs on to the site. Oh, $50.
No, there's no logging on. Site is Joe Murray.
Oh, I see.
I just say, all right, Joe, let it ride. There's
maybe
no site.
Maybe he got you a membership into.
No. Okay. I Venmo'd him the money a long time ago.
Nice.
They're just like, all right, okay. Well, let it ride. Whatever I have, let it ride.
Okay.
And so, I'll do the same thing this week. Whatever I have, I'll just be like, let it ride. And let's see, maybe it turns into something.
So you have like, what do you have now? Like $90?
It's like, yeah, like a little less than $100. Yeah, because yeah. I bet the 50 that I had on whatever the game is.
No, but he takes a VIG, right?
As I said, a little less than $100. Yeah,
I just forgot one quick thing. Do you stay away from Thursday night football? I forgot what the theory is.
I will not bet on Thursday night football.
Okay. Like,
that's bad. And I bet they wouldn't either.
Okay,
because I mean, isn't that the kind of the old adage?
Are you now considering yourself a bankroll boy with your $50 wages?
Well, you better believe it. I've got my top hat and monocle. I am rolling in the riches.
Thanks. Yeah, that's right.
But I do like. However, if we're going to put them on our show, I do like somewhat putting my money where our show's mouth is. So I'm going to continue every week just to let them do that, just to see how it goes.
Okay. All right. What happened last night, Rich?
Well, as we know, John Wallach, very upset.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
98.5 Sports Hub or Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Enjoy a large or extra large Dunkin' coffee for a chance to win great prizes today. No purchase necessary, 13+. Ends October 15th or while supplies last. For game piece and official rules, visit sippeelwin.com. And they slowly rolled the cart filled with champagne and goggles out of the Red Sox locker room and back into the broom closet.
And the pitch is swung on, hit in the air deep to right field down the line. That ball is high, it is far, it is gone. Miguel Andujar goes the opposite way, and it's a long fly in the right field seats. The do can do and get Miggy with it.
Ooh.
That's just a warm-up act, though.
The
two that Luke Voigt hit, he actually upped himself.
Did you see what Luke Voigt did?
Yes, the one-handed bench press. I did see that.
That is so dumb. So Luke Voigt
reason to do it.
He's on a bench and he's got the bar, and it's got 135 pounds on.
Yes.
Okay, so he's not using a dumbbell. He's got the actual
weight bench bar.
Yeah.
He's got one plate on each side.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's doing it one arm. Oh, Bird just got here. Congratulations.
Hey.
So he's got one hand on it. He'd probably come in here and yell at me for saying that he was late. So then he gets it up and he starts twitching around and like spazzing out. And you're thinking to yourself, you're a professional baseball player.
You've been gifted this golden opportunity to play for the Yankees.
First of all, this exercise.
On the bench, by the way, on the bench?
Yes.
Okay, I did not see that last night. I'm doing
He put up 135 with one arm, which is impressive.
Then he switched arms and did it the other way also.
Right, which is good for your throwing arm. So he's convulsing on this bench. You know how lucky he was not to injure himself?
Seriously injure himself.
If I'm Cashman, I look at that, I'm saying you can't lift weights again. I don't care what happens.
We're taking it away from you, sir.
Dumbass. Seriously.
I mean, pitchers get hurt, like stubbing their toe.
That's not something that you automatically go over and just decide you want to do. Someone must have challenged him to do it, and he was stupid enough to try it.
I think if you did that at a gym, that someone would come up to you and
like, take your
trainer
membership.
Would come up to you
seriously.
And say, you know, you got to stop this or we're going to get sued. Oh, boy, was that dumb. That's one of the dumbest things I've seen. I mean, these guys hurt themselves playing video games. They hurt themselves opening jars.
Getting out of bed.
Falling downstairs, cutting vegetables. Seriously.
Yeah. I mean,
stuff like that happens all the time.
Well, for the second night in a row, the Yankees kept the Red Sox from popping bottles in their stadium as the AL East will have to be clinched another day.
Good, because they don't have the banner.
No, they don't. The Sox get throttled 10-1. And if you were only nervous about the bullpen but felt pretty good about that David Price guy, well, last night was not your night.
Swung on and driven to right field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Voit hits one to Beloit. He homers to right. Oh, that Voit is adroit. And the Yankees now take a 4-0 lead.
If you listen carefully, you'll see right after contact is made, you'll hear Susan Waldman say, go.
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 Go. Go. Go.
Get out of there.
Are those real, like, terms?
Beloit? Is Beloit a new place?
Beloit is a place, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So
he went
in
through
Idaho somewhere. I don't know. So it's somewhere else.
He went, like, over a map and decided that these are the places
because
that rhymed with Beloit.
I think he just had to find a city that rhymed with
Beloit. No, that's what I'm saying. So he went over a map.
Yes, that's right.
Or, like, an almanac of the cities of America.
I think he just went to rhymezone.com and typed in the guy's name, and those are the things that came up.
Well, these are not big towns, I would imagine.
But he left one out. I mean, he has another, because thank God Voit hit another one. So
does he?
Play the other one.
Swung on and hit in the air to right field. Martinez going back on the track. He's at the wall. She's gone. He's done it again. Luke Voit. Cool hand Luke. Voit hits one to Beloit. A 2-run home run. And the Yankees have a 6-1 lead.
Hits one to Detroit.
Yeah.
That would seem to be easier. Beloit.
But he doesn't want to say Detroit because
that's too obvious.
No, and it's also it's too many syllables.
Well, Detroit and Beloit are the same.
I guess that's right.
I
wasn't paying attention. Maybe because Detroit has a Major League Baseball franchise. He doesn't want to confuse people.
Just want to give that
Beloit, what is this baseball that's landed here? We know nothing of baseball in this town.
Well, as much as you can't argue with anyone saying David Price can't pitch in the postseason, you can now just as well say David Price can't pitch against the Yankees. After being lights out,
true. He can't pitch in Yankee Stadium.
At Fenway, he's fine.
Well, let's take a look. David Price once again found his kryptonite. He allowed 6 runs and 3 homers in error, but this is nothing new for Price. As a matter of fact, his record against the Yankees this season is a horror show. 4 games started, no wins, 3 losses, a 10.4 ERA, and a whopping 13 home runs allowed. And that's this season.
Yeah, but he's pitched well against them at Fenway.
August 5th at Fenway Park, 2 runs, 4 hits, and 6 innings. It was a no decision, but much better than we're used to. And again, this falls in line with the way he's been pitching the last 2 months. And I'm telling you, he wasn't that bad last night. He wasn't. I think Voit hit both of them off the end of the bat, flipped his wrist. I mean, he's a real strong guy. And it went 341 feet over a 340-foot wall, or distance 340 feet away. I mean, he hit an outside pitch. The pitch that Voit hit, both of them were not bad.
I'm looking at him right now. I mean, those are legitimate home runs, John.
I'm sorry. They're medium-depth fly balls in a different ballpark.
Yeah, but they're playing in Yankee Stadium.
I know they're playing all... I'm not saying the Red Sox should win. I'm not saying that Price was dominant. All I'm saying is the numbers lie a little bit.
The score is not indicative of his.
I'm not saying that the Yankees didn't deserve to win the game. The Red Sox offense was putrid again.
Well, let's get to that because they have gone ice cold. With 1 run last night, they've now scored just 36 runs in their last 11 games, and they have just 7 homers in that span. Matter of fact, you can go all the way back to the All-Star break where they have just 55 homers in 54 games. And their 1.02 home runs per game is worth than all but the 6 teams in that span in Major League Baseball. Even worse, with the addition of Aaron Judge back in the lineup, the Yankees seem to have new life about them. And the Sox, they are 8-7 against the Yankees on the season, and they're on the doorstep of a sweep. Here is David Price afterwards.
I mean, anytime you give up a home run, it's frustrating, but everybody's playing in the same part. You know, it's not like the fences move back when we hit or move forward when they hit, so it's part of it.
So the Sox, they're going to try avoiding the sweep tonight at 7:10. So Johnny Wall game.
Yes.
The Sox have 10 games left to win 4 more to set the all-time Red Sox record. However, 7 of those 10 are against the Yankees in Cleveland. the other three against the Orioles. So the question is, John Wallach, can the Red Sox win one of the remaining games against Cleveland or the Yankees in order to get that all-time record?
Well, let's see. They have 103 wins now. They need three more.
No, they need four to get the record. I thought it was three to tie.
It's 105, it's 105, I believe, is the record.
Oh, so you need I thought the record was 106. Okay, well, then it's less
106
than that.
Is the record. Okay. They'll set it. So they have to win three of their last 10, which is doable. But the bigger story is the stuff we've been talking about for, you know, weeks now. The Red Sox are now two games under 500 against the other four teams that are going to make the playoffs after this loss. They're 500 against the Yankees, more or less. We'll see how they do against Cleveland. They're 2-2 against Cleveland, and they got three games in Cleveland coming up over the weekend. I mean, the bullpen is still a mess. We don't know where Sale is going to be. You know, Price is not going to pitch against the Yankees at the stadium. He pitches against the Yankees in the first round of the playoffs. It's going to be game two at Fenway Park, and then you cross your fingers if a game six comes up and he has to pitch there.
John loves nothing more than saying the stadium, by the way.
I do. I say the stadium a lot. It's a cool. All the cool kids are doing it that way.
Instead of saying Yankee Stadium, you just go
all
to
the cool
state.
Kids. Yeah,
just goes to state.
Yeah.
By the way, does this
just called the
Repping the
Did you repping the What up, Voight?
Did it surprise you that Dennis Eckersley was a Breaking Bad fan at all?
No, okay, no, yeah. No. I could have written that down in ink beforehand. Yeah.
What's the name of the star of Breaking Bad? The guy who
Bryan Cranston. Kendall.
Yeah, Bryan Cranston. They showed him in the crowd and Eck's like, yeah, man, I love that. That show's wild, man. I'd watch it, and sometimes I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd be up all night.
Yeah, that's because I was doing what they were doing.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, baby.
He did
getting high in your own supply.
There was a little bit of this last night.
0-for-1 with a pop to short tonight.
Whoa.
What happened there?
That's a one-hop strike.
That wasn't a strike.
Ephus beat. He just tripped.
Panting like a dog there. What happened, I would assume. You just saw double bubbles in the audience.
One hop paint.
He's like, oh, man. I got something happening in my pants. That old ex got to let her out for a second or he's going to do some damage.
A C-note. What kind of note is that?
A C-note.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, he got smoked.
Bush lights are on the X tonight. I found a C note.
I'm for one with a pop to short tonight.
Whoa.
What happened there?
That's a one-hop strike.
That wasn't a strike.
Ephus beat. He just tripped.
Hey, man, we just tripped. Right before the last Loverboy show.
Wow.
Man, the colors when Blue Oyster Cult came on.
Woo! Oh, man.
Nazareth. You've never seen him until you've been off your lid.
When I would play with him in 78, I was a maniac.
Pack of cools in a... Pack of cools in a case of White Sharks, please.
White Shark?
Yeah, you put some Budweisers in the dang ice.
Wow.
Peter, go ahead.
Hey, listen, John Wallach, you gap-tooth monster. You need to stop being such a homer. Okay, sir, Gap-a-lot. Listen, where's John Wallach's favorite place to eat?
Where?
Gapplebee's.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Hey, when he's in London on the subway, you know where I'm talking about?
Where?
When the conductor says, mind the gap, everyone looks at John Wallach.
Very
all right, John, David
Price
sucks. Deal with it.
Okay.
John Wallach insult comic. The John Wallach insult comic can call in anytime he wants.
No, but John's getting the gap taken care of.
I am.
No, how far away are we from the Invisalign?
No, we're underway with the Invisalign. I don't wear it during the show, but I do have it now.
Okay, so yes. Do you have it with you right now?
Yes, I do.
So you'll put it in immediately after the show?
Yes.
Okay. What are we going to do when Johnny Boy doesn't have his gap anymore?
I don't know, but I'll
have to pick out another physical flaw.
Just the John Wallach insult comic.
I'm sure it'll take you all of like 4 seconds. Yeah. I don't think it'll be a problem.
Here's the tweets going. Blaming the ballpark is lame. Also, going off the field doesn't mean you're late on a pitch, John.
That's right. He could have hit a pitch that was low and away. That's true. He could have hit a pitcher's pitch out.
God
That's
forbid
true.
People accept the fact that Price stinks. Sox are hitting in the same ballpark,
none
too.
Of you paying attention. He's been great the last 6 or 8 weeks. He's mm-hmm. been great since the All-Star break.
I don't like the excuse of the park, though. I really don't.
I understand.
That's like a right-hand hitter in Fenway.
Except there's a 37-foot wall to take away some of those pop-ups.
I understand, but it's also close. So something that could be a fly ball in another park is a double at
Fenway. A fly ball at Fenway Park that barely, like, for instance, say the wall is actually 315 feet away. Suppose you hit a pop-up that's 318 feet. More than likely, it's going to scrape the wall, and it's a double. You hit a pop-up at Yankee Stadium, it's a home run.
Yeah, but it's a double that in another park would be an easy out.
I understand that. All I'm saying is, that, yes, Fenway is configured similarly on the opposite side of the ballpark, but there's that 37-foot wall that's more of an equalizer. And yeah, you can argue that the pesky pole is down at... What are we laughing at?
I'm sorry, just on TV. What? They show a guy riding on the hood of somebody's car.
Yes, that's right.
And underneath it, it says, Everett.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Everett and Walden
are like birds flipping out in the other room.
Yeah. That's my down the street from his house.
Okay, thumbs up, thumbs down. You know that guy, Bird. You know that guy?
Thumbs up or thumbs down, you know him.
I don't know that guy.
Okay, so listen, Walden and Everett are certainly are starting to become world famous. Here are the headlines.
Something.
You know what that means.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Mankind became stupider.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on? But first, let me tell you this. Be listening this hour for your chance to score a six-pack of passes to the Harpoon Oktoberfest September 28th and 29th at Harpoon Brewery. HarpoonBrewery.com for more info.
Well, yesterday, despite everybody confirming that it was a done deal and being put on the official Patriots website, the official Cleveland website, I believe it was even put through on the official NFL wire.
Yep.
Bill Belichick still denied that the deal had finished, and apparently there might have been some truth to it, some wording in the contract or whatever. But, I mean, talk about a guy just making sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted before mentioning anything about a player. But if you didn't believe it, then you could have seen it yesterday on the field. There he was, Josh Gordon, running around, doing drills, and it is official. He is now a member of your New England Patriots. And then the one thing that got everybody who writes for or covers the Patriots on Twitter, it was funny. I logged on, and there might have been a slew of seven people in a row who all tweeted the same thing. Josh Gordon has a locker right next to Tom Brady. So there you go. They popped it right next to him.
Edelman's going to be pissed.
Well, was Edelman's next to him, or is this just to keep him away, like a wedge between the two of them?
Edelman wants his across the room from Brady, so they both got their own.
They can throw the football back and forth?
Yeah, and they can stretch out and just be like, and look across and just go, what's up, bro? I don't need to be next to you in the locker room. I'm next to you every other time.
Right next to each other, it's too close to towel snap. You got to have a little bit of distance to get the full extension.
Come on, man.
So Josh Gordon was out there. I have to admit, it was kind of cool to see. He got the number 10, which is amazing because he has the number 12 tattooed on his back. Have you seen his back tattoo?
Yes,
I have. The entire thing is a 12.
Yeah, he's not narcissistic at all.
Bill Belichick spent 20 minutes telling people to, you know, basically F off. Nothing to see here. You know, it's not. And I think he ended his press conference at 11:25. 12:30, Josh Gordon's out there catching passes.
I know. But boy, that guy is a stickler. He wanted it official.
He was just being a prick. All he was doing. But again, to get back to before John interrupted me.
Sorry.
Can you imagine the rampant narcissism of just getting your own name and number tattooed over the entirety of your back? And can you imagine if he fails here and that he played professional football, essentially like for 2.5 years? And they'll use this constant reminder, and that's not one that they can just take away.
Well, at least it's on his back, so we didn't see that often.
Right. But, you know, if you want to get a tattoo removed when it's the entirety of a 6'3" player's back.
Yeah, that is, it's massive.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. So you're stuck with that for the rest of your life.
Well, one person who was mentioned a lot yesterday was Randy Moss, and has been mentioned a lot ever since Josh Gordon was signed to this team, and one of the reasons is that Randy Moss used to have the locker directly next to Tom Brady. So they're looking for some of that mojo to possibly work again. Someone else who thinks that maybe that's a possibility is Vince Wilfork. And by the way, Vince Wilfork interviewed yesterday on TMZ just walking around town. Dude's still wearing his overalls and nothing else. Like, that's just his look. Just, I'm waking up. I'm not, something tells me he doesn't even wear under drawers. He's just like, it all hang out. Just
under drawers.
Under drawers.
Under drawers.
Yeah, that's what they call it in the South, under drawers.
That's what I'm saying. He just took a trip back to Kansas.
Well, I mean, he's down in Texas. He wears the cowboy hat, so I'm sure he calls
it. So you
it
think
drawers.
He's freeballing in overalls?
Without a doubt. There's no doubt in my mind he's freeballing.
Can you imagine the condition of those overalls after he's been walking in the heat?
I have no doubt in my mind. Okay, so it's overalls and nothing else.
All right, is he in Houston?
I think he's still there. Yeah.
Okay. Say he's in Houston. Yeah. All right. And so this time of year, Houston's what, like 90 degrees?
Oh God, 100 degrees still.
It's 100 degrees, yeah. Like 80% humidity.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what's going on in those overalls? The denim right, between his legs.
Oh. Surprised you don't hear like a flopping sound as he walks.
I mean, talk about. Talk about having some problems downstairs.
Well, nonetheless, Vince Wilfork, who is the greatest, and he's wearing his overalls while being interviewed on TMZ, had this to say about the success potential with Josh Gordon.
Now, you're a Patriots legend, man. They just got Josh Gordon. Do you think it's going to work out? People are saying he has a lot of baggage.
I'll tell you what. I mean, if anybody can get it out of him, I think it'd be Bill Belichick. A lot of people say the same thing about when we got Randy Moss. We had no issue with Randy Moss. Was one of the best teammates we ever had, I ever had, and is a good friend. So, I think people deserve second chances and stuff. So he going to have it. He get it. Okay. You know, Bill going to give him his shot, and if he can't do it, he's out of there.
Yeah, what's your advice on making it work? You know, like, they're such a professional organization, low tolerance for BS.
Come there ready to work every day, you know. Play your role and do your job. That's one of the biggest things. Number one motto that we always had was do your job. And then, I mean, it sounds so simple, but people make it complicated. So all you got to do is just do your job. You'll be okay.
It's like the Everglades in those overalls.
Just like the heat?
No, the swamp. Swamp ass.
You need like a whole tanker of Gold Bond to take care of business.
Just like, you know, the t-shirt guns?
Yeah, right.
Just pack it with Gold Bond.
He looks like a clown by the time it's done. He's got so much powder all over his face.
I just can't picture. Now that you said he was freeballing, I can't.
But you know he does. Chances he's freeballing. Like 90%.
So gross.
Well, Rob Gronkowski is a gentleman who knows that you have to do your job, as Bill Belichick says, in order to make things work with the Patriots.
Rob, what's a guy like him have to do to fit in, a veteran that's come here? Why do some veterans fit in?
Work hard, do your job. That explains it all.
But you've seen a lot of guys that don't. I don't know if they don't work hard, but they just, it doesn't work out.
I guess they weren't doing their job then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it worked out on Sunday when Brady was pointing to his head and screaming, do your job.
Was that what he was yelling?
Yeah, he was yelling, do your job on the bench. He was pointing to his head and screaming at everyone to do their job.
All I know is that that moment lasted so short until you all of a sudden got distracted by Josh McDaniels screaming in a high-pitched voice.
Yes.
Much like Alvin from the Chipmunks at many of the
staring
people in the
at
offense.
The navels of the offensive line.
Well, Rob Gronkowski was asked, are you getting excited about playing with guys who have size and speed?
Are there any moments where you start to get excited about the potential of being on the same field? Two guys who have a lot of size and speed, yourself and Josh?
Yes, I mean, that's definitely. And I mean, really can't really worry about what's going on. I mean, I got to really focus on what I got to do, too. Being here, I mean, there really isn't too much excitement. So, I don't know.
Why not? Why not?
So, I don't know. Getting excited is kind of scary.
Sort of bring the excitement, though.
I mean, I try.
We saw you chucking the ball around in mid-camp, I think, right?
Yeah, that was cool.
Why was he laughing?
Because he was basically saying, they're not letting me say anything. So it was kind of a diss on the Patriots, the way I read it. He's like, well, you're kind of, you can't get excited, and then he started laughing. Like, you can't I can't say anything.
Right, so they've scolded him.
Yeah.
Don't go out there and show no... We need you to show no emotion.
I think that's exactly what it was.
Okay.
Is that he was to go out there and not say anything and to repeat the mantra, do your job. That's the new On to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they're going to say all season is do your job. And he sat there and he was told, under no circumstances, give any opinion of Josh Gordon. So when he was asked about it, about, you know, speed on the other side, he's like, I really can't think of that. And well, are you excited? And he's like, well, you're not really allowed to get excited.
Well, he's done that before. He's cracked himself up. Like when he's felt restrained, because remember this one time he goes, you know, I want to say something, but I'm not really allowed to say something, but I kind of want to. He's done that before.
Yeah, because it's ludicrous.
And that's probably why he's laughing.
Yeah, he's laughing at how ridiculous it is that he can't say anything. Josh Gordon's on the team. He's not allowed to say if he's happy. He's not allowed to go out there and go, I'm very happy that they got Josh Gordon. Like even something positive he's not allowed to say. Mm-hmm. So, but you know what? They win.
Well, he's not even technically on the team at that point, according to Bill Belichick.
He is not. No, that's probably another reason why they weren't allowed to say anything. Call number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a six-pack of passes to Harpoon Oktoberfest September 28th and 29th at Harpoon Brewery, harpoonbrewery.com for more info.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else is going on?
Well, it looks like a couple of us, at least, are going to be down at the... Not even the practice facility. Are they going to do it at the practice facility, the Celtics Media Day? Or are we going to have to go down to where the other place was?
It said where the other place was.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's because they do, like, photo shoots and everything. They're doing there. But then again,
where was that?
For us, it's closer. Like, if it's right after work.
Is it Dedham?
Yeah,
Dedham?
No, it was not Dedham.
I'm trying to remember.
It's like Braintree.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, it was kind of by the mall down there.
All right.
I think. I could be wrong. But either way, Monday's the day that we're going to go down there and get to interview a lot of these guys. And in the meantime, there's been several players who have been catching up and trying to get healthy for the season. We know, of course, Kyrie Irving, and you've got Gordon Hayward trying to get back on track, and here is Brad Stevens on how Hayward is looking as of late.
I watched him go kind of through the steps of being working out to going to one-on-one, to two-on-two, to three-on-three. And now he can play some of the open gyms that the guys are having. Like anything, there's always going to be a period of adjustment. But from my eye, and I think that everybody else that may have watched him work out, he looks like he's looked before.
Well, if you are into all things controversial, Sports Illustrated, as we know, a couple weeks ago did their top 100 players, and they ranked Rozier 82, and the highest ranked was Al Horford at number 16, but left off the list was Marcus Smart. Well, that's where ESPN comes in and goes, not so fast. We have our own top 100, and we're putting Marcus Smart at number 55.
Hey!
So they've just rocketed him up. Like, they didn't even have him in the top 100 for Sports Illustrated, and he's like all the way halfway up the list. According to ESPN, in the top 100, at 82 was Terry Rozier, which is exactly where he was on the SI list. Gordon Hayward, he is at number 40. Jaylen Brown, 37. Al Horford at 34. Remember, Horford was 16 with Sports Illustrated's. And Jason Tatum, all the way at number 24 on who ESPN ranked in their top 100 players.
Where's Kyrie again?
Kyrie has not been named yet, and they have not released the top 20.
Okay.
So he's somewhere in the top 20 where he should be.
When are they going to release that, I hope?
Listen, all I know is that I've been biting my fingernails like this. When's it coming out? I've been pressing refresh, refresh, refresh. All you need to know, though, is that Marcus Smart, he's now been vindicated because of that,
sure,
that diss that he got from Sports Illustrated. Now, Jimmy Butler, however, is someone who does not like being in Minnesota. As a matter of fact, he demanded a trade yesterday, and the preferred destinations of the trade, according to ESPN, were the Brooklyn Nets, the Los Angeles Clippers, and the New York Knicks.
Well, it's funny because he also said that he wanted to play in an opportunity with two other stars, mm-hmm, and the Clippers have none. I'm not aware of. I don't think Brooklyn has any. And he's playing on a team right now with two other stars.
Well, Brooklyn has the cap space next year.
I understand that, but he's already on a team with two stars.
But here's the thing that should scare you as a Celtics fan, is with all the talk that we have heard that Kyrie Irving might consider playing for the Knicks next year, and that Kyrie Irving is just nutty enough to do that, despite the ownership and everything about the place being bad, other than it's in New York, is that him and Jimmy Butler are good buds. Like, they're really good friends.
Both have the contracts expire after next season.
So yeah, this lines up perfectly for the two of them to end up playing together in New York. And I believe they've even spoken about possibly playing together one day. So when Jimmy Butler
could do it anyway. I mean, Jimmy Butler's a free agent after this year.
No, what I'm saying is that the Knicks being one of the places he wants to go makes you think, okay, well, if that happens.
No, I understand, but I don't understand why he needs to be traded this year. Why that is so important to him.
Here's why, Fred, is because you can do it. Now in the NBA, you can say, I want to be traded, and you're going to get traded. Now, you might not want to go where you want to go.
No, like, it's got to be.
Look at San Antonio.
Leonard.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard. He ended up with the Raptors instead of going to L.A. like you wanted to. But
that was
a fractured
relationship with the head coach, and I think that has a lot to do with this. I understand your point, Fred. Thibodeau is a workaholic. We've discussed this before. He has no life. He has a stamp collection, and that's pretty much it. Maybe he's rubbing Jimmy Butler the wrong way. Maybe he's grinding on him a little bit. And despite the star power you have on that franchise, I mean, playing with Karl Anthony Towns at 82 games is not necessarily a bad thing. It would significantly free you up to do things on the offensive end, I would think.
Yeah, I just think you should be careful what you wish.
Yeah, I understand why he wants to go to L.A. He lives there during the offseason. I get that. And he's not going to go to the Lakers at this point. So, you know, I would think that's why he wants to go to the Clippers. As far as the Knicks and the Nets, the Knicks thing, I kind of get it. Maybe he already has a deal with Kyrie saying, I'm going, you know, if I can get myself traded to the Knicks, will you join me there? That kind of thing.
I just like how you pronounce Thibodeau with the TH sound at the beginning. I've never heard that.
Apparently, I saw how I said Kawhi or whatever the hell I said.
Yeah, Kawhi.
Well, I'll tell you this, is that there's, if I was someone who's making $100 million in a contract, I'd really want to play with one of my friends. I don't know how else I would see him. It'd be heaven on earth. Well, listen, they're the bankroll boys. If you're a big-time gambler or a low-stakes chap, just know that Dan Lifshatz is here, as is Joe Murray. The bankroll boys coming up. No commercials, just the headlines.